am so thankful tonight that I can say from my heart that I found that what matters to me has mattered to the Master. Those things that lie close to my heart, those places where I have found pain in life, it matters. And when I'm happy and I find fulfillment, it matters then too. And I was especially inspired tonight with the phrase of that song that said, that spoke of that pure living stream. Did you know that the Lord has a pure, living, alive stream, and He flows it right past your address, right out in your front lawn, right into your house, right into your heart, if you'll let it, if you'll open the door. And it's not a trickle. It's not something that we just have to dabble our feet in and say, you know, I think I sensed it. I think I felt something from the Lord. The Lord has a way of filling us up to overflowing. We don't have to just wade in what He has, but we can be immersed in it. And I'm so thankful tonight that it extends even to me. With all of the opportunity that the Lord has to work on in my life, He was willing for that living water to pass by my way. And He's doing everything that He can to keep me in supply. And when I begin to wander away, it's the Lord's vested interest to come and find me and offer me a drink of something that satisfies, because He cares. I'm so appreciative tonight of the goodness of God that leads us to the light of the truth. I'm thankful tonight for the love that the Lord has for us that leads to repentance. So thankful tonight for the peace and the rest that the Lord has available for us in life. And really tonight, it's the hope of the gospel. It's real. It's alive. This is not just an idea. I have found this to be more than just a theory, just an idea. I remember when I had first started school, I had moved away from home and I was living on campus, and I was down in the basement of the dorm one day, and me and this guy got in this discussion and spiritual discussion, and all of a sudden he just stopped me and he said, "Whoa, just hold on a minute." And I didn't know the kid. And he said, "I want to ask you a question. Do you believe this, or is this what your church believes?" He says, I want to know where you're coming from. And I was able to look at him and say, "This is what I believe. I found this to be so." And he said, "Okay." Then he was satisfied for the discussion to go on. Jesus Christ has a real live experience for us. And if you're here tonight and you have found that it's becoming more of a form and just religion and more of an act than it is an alive, burning presence of God in your life, I want to encourage you tonight that the Lord has something real for you. Right. He wants us to experience peace in our lives here. He wants to take us. He has a vested interest that when we see Him at the end, that He can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." He isn't going to look at His list and say, "Well, I don't know, Rod. I guess maybe I'll let you in. It looks like maybe." No, if we follow Him and we accept the gift of salvation and the blood of Jesus, and we give ourselves to following Him, then when we get to the end, it's not like we're going to meet Him for the first time, but the Lord is going to be holding our hands. He can say, "Father, this is one of mine, right here. We've been living together. We've been taught. We have a relationship. Well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Isn't that wonderful? It's real. It's alive. But here's the thing, folks. All of us are going to meet God. Every single one of us are going to come to the place where we come face to face with God. And And there is going to be an eternity that goes out into the infinite future that all of us are going to face. And because of that, the Lord wants us to meet Him in peace. And time is passing by, folks. Time is quickly getting behind us. I always felt like I was the youngest one in the room. But I'm not the youngest one in the room anymore. Not the oldest either. But I remember coming to that point where I all of a sudden realized I'm not the youngest anymore. And you get to a certain place in life and you start realizing life really does pass you by. And the other thing you find is that time is not guaranteed. We don't get to say, well, I'm going to have 20 years for this, and then I'm going to do this for 20 years, and this for 20 years, and then at the end of this 20 years, maybe I'll be 80 years old, and then maybe. No, we don't know when we are going to face God. And the Lord knows that too. He knows that we don't know. And He knows how important it is that we are right with Him. And He wants us to be right with Him. He has a vested interest in us. Time is going to be no more. We aren't going to have any more opportunity to make decisions for God or not. That time is going to come to an end. And yet, with that reality in place, there are so many souls in so many lives that have allowed themselves to have misplaced priorities. They've allowed their affections to be misplaced. Their relationship with God has gone vacant and absent. And in the process, their very spirit has begun to die. And I don't want to be in the place where I meet the Lord and get to the end and not have Jesus Christ in me. The Lord wants me, and He wants you tonight. He wants us to be alive, because it can happen to Christian people. It's not just all those people out in the world, all those people that have misplaced priorities. You know, all those people out there that are just living in sin, all those people out there that don't have a relationship with God, all those people that are just living to themselves. We can always be looking at out there. I want to tell you something tonight. It can happen to us. It can happen to people that are God-fearing. We can become dead in our souls and lose our oil and be numbered with the people of God here on this earth and get to the end of the way and be separated out like the five foolish virgins were. The Lord is giving us opportunity tonight. He gives us opportunity while we yet live to find a place of peace with Him so that that doesn't happen. Tonight, the burden that I have is revival. Maybe we'll just write that on the board. I'm interested this evening in understanding and experiencing revival. Is revival just for Christians? Is revival just for the people that don't have anything going for them with the Lord? It's not. What is revival? Have you thought about it? We're in a revival meeting. Is this what this is called? A revival meeting. Have you ever thought about what that word means? I thought about it before I came. And I looked up what it meant, too. And I want to read you a little bit. Revival is translated as to live or to cause to live. And when I reflect on that for just a short period of time, I realize that the absence of revival is to die. The absence of revival is to drift into death eventually. Revival means to restore to life or consciousness, a reawakening, an instance of something that has become active or important again. And from a spiritual standpoint, people can experience revival in things that aren't spiritual. We're interested in our spiritual souls tonight. And from a spiritual standpoint, revival is not just an emotional experience that we take in so many times a year and then endeavor to live off of the fumes and the memories of an emotional church service that happened somewhere down a romantic lane somewhere that we think about. True spiritual revival is when we come and we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in our lives and reawakens our perspective, reawakens within us a passion and an understanding of truth and the way that is the way of darkness. And true revival is when we come and we allow the Lord to work within us in a way that causes change after we leave revival meeting. It often involves maybe a realignment of priorities. Maybe the way we spend our time, our focus, what it is that we have allowed to consume so much of our time, and we only have so much space in our minds, and we rent space out in our minds, if you think about it that way. We're going to rent a little space out for this, and a little bit for that, and a little bit for that, and then we sleep, you know, a portion of the 24 hours. And before you know it, if we're not careful, we haven't given the space that we need to give to the Lord. And He wants us to experience revival on an ongoing basis so that we can stay alive and so that we can have our priorities where they should be and so that our eyes can be open and our vision can see clearly what is important and what is not important. And we pray and we desire revival, folks, but we have a responsibility in this too. It's not just to come show up. People and say, well, I've been to revival. I was at revival this week. Have you ever heard anybody say that? But the question is, were you revived? you went to revival, but what happened to you? Were you revived? Or did you go away like the man that beheld himself in a glass and the Spirit of the Lord began to help him understand, this is who you are. You see this place right here? And he saw that and beheld. But then it said he went out and straightway forgot what manner of man he was. That's not revival. That's not revival. The Lord wants us to experience revival. He wants us to be alive. He doesn't want us dead. He doesn't want us to be dead followers of God. He wants us to be alive followers of God. Alive in our hearts where there is a burn, where there is a desire that motivates the way that we live each day. We have a responsibility in this. Paul said in the 10th chapter of Romans, he said, call on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Who was supposed to do the calling? Jesus? Jesus calls. But we also have to call on the name of the Lord. Are we? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Who's supposed to seek? Who was He talking about? That He would do all the seeking and all of these things would be added unto us? No. The Lord was speaking to us. He was saying to us, you seek the kingdom of heaven. and His righteousness and all of these other things will be done unto you. Folks, do whatever it takes to get a hold of the Lord. Zacchaeus came to the place where he was not fulfilled in his life. And he wanted to see Jesus. And he climbed a tree so he could. Have you climbed a tree recently to see Jesus? Have you done something that, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever I have to do, whatever it means, the lame man came and he had a need in his heart, in his body. And he came and there was all this press and he couldn't get in. And so they made a hole through the roof because they wanted to get to Jesus. He had a need in his body. He wanted to be alive throughout. He didn't want to be lame in a certain area of his body. Folks, I don't want to be spiritually lame in areas of my life. Because you know what happens when one area is lame? It affects another. And it can be like spiritual leprosy where it starts to grow and creep. And one thing over here that we begin to become lax in, and it begins to affect the next thing and the next thing. And before you know it, we're in a lot of trouble. Let's come into this meeting and this evening and before God with a desire of heart. Lord, I have a need. Lord, I want to be revived in my spirit. I want it, Lord, help me to understand who I am. Lord, help me to see in that glass. Help me to recognize by your Holy Spirit who I am. Help me to see me like you want me to see me. Because, Lord, when you call my name and you knock at my door and it's my time, Lord, I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, I want to hear those words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Are you alive tonight? Or are you just here? I know you're here in body because I can see you. But are you here in spirit? Did you come with a desire, Lord, I need help? Do we live our lives listening for the voice of God? Have we been able to adopt that in our life? Where each day we are so alive in our spirit that our primary motivation is, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what would you say to me today? I want to hear it, Lord. I don't want to drown you out by all the other things that I have on my plan for today. Lord, when you speak, I want to hear. Because I don't want to find myself without. I don't want to find myself without your Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. We read in Isaiah 57, you don't have to turn there, in the 15th verse, I dwell in the high and holy place. God dwells in a high and holy place. But then it says, with him also, listen, I want to understand who this is because I want the Lord to dwell with me. That's who I'm going to meet. That's who's going to judge me at the last day. With him also that is of a contrite and an humble spirit. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm not righteous in myself. Lord, I'm desperate for your blood to cover my sins. Lord, I'm so human and you're so divine. Lord, would you have mercy on me to revive the spirit of the humble? He is with the one that is of a contrite, humble spirit so that he can revive the spirit of the humble and revive the hearts of the contrite ones. I want to be in that number tonight. I want to be contrite. I don't want to ever get to the place where I feel like I have arrived spiritually. I've got it. Now, if anybody needs counsel, come to me because I've got it. I've lived long enough. I've been in the Word. I've seen a few things. I'm there. I've arrived. I don't ever want to get to the place where I do not realize with my eyes wide open that I am in so much need of the blood and mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ every single day. Amen. I want to be humble. I want to be a servant. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I want to be alive in my spirit and in my heart. With that preface, I'd like to read a passage out of the third chapter of Revelation. Third chapter of Revelation in the 13th verse. It said, "He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You have an ear tonight? Can you hear? Did we come so that we could hear? This is, my Bible has this in red letters. The Lord is speaking and He is exhorting us. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to all of those that are sinful and out there on the road and don't know anything about Jesus Christ. That's not what it said. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And who was he talking to? To the churches. What the Spirit saith unto the churches. Folks, let's be awake tonight to what the Lord has to say to us. I don't want to be asleep to what the Lord has to say to us. Jesus Christ is saying to us tonight, if you have an ear, listen. Listen to what He has to say to the church. To those that are God-fearing. To those that believe they have a hold of something. Let them hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness." The Lord is faithful and He's right and He's true and He doesn't shoot blanks. And He has our best interest at heart. He's faithful. It's because He cares about you. He wants us to have a good end, an expected end, an end of peace. He's a true witness. He's faithful. He loves us. It is not a God with a sledgehammer and a sword, with a grim look on His face, just ready. You make a mistake and you're out of here. Only the perfect. And just whacking us off left and right, first opportunity. That is not the God we serve tonight. We are serving a God with a smile, with care, that shed blood for us, that is faithful and He's true and He's looking out and He's looking at each one of us as individuals. And when He sees things that could cause us a problem, He wants to be there to help show us the way of truth and light so that He can usher us into eternal life. That is the God that we're serving. And that is the God that is bringing this message. That is the Lord that was bringing this message, the faithful and the true witness to the church. And these are the things that He had to say. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." Did you catch here that there was no pause for discussion about our works? He just made a statement. "I know your works." And He didn't say, "Now, what do you think about it?" "I know your works, and this is what they are, but let's discuss it." There was no discussion. Just a few words. "I know your works, and you're not hot or cold." That's the end of the discussion. You remember the man that went away speechless? It's because there wasn't anything to say. It was the Lord that said, "Where's your wedding garment?" He was speechless. It was no discussion. He was talking to the Creator. And we're going to meet the Creator, folks. We're going to meet the Creator. And He knows our works. And there isn't going to be any discussion about it at that time. And He told him, He said, "I know your works. And I know that you're not cold and you're not hot." You know, things that are real cold, that they're invigorating. There's nothing like something really cold on a hot day. And there's nothing that like hot water that just seems to give life. And both of those things, if you want to keep it really cold or really hot, you have to be deliberate about it. There has to be energy that's flowing in. A conduit of energy flowing in to each one of them. Otherwise, the lukewarm world out there is just going to cause it to lose its cold and lose its hot. And you just lukewarm. You're just whatever the environment is around you, that's where you end up. And he looked at them and he said, you're not cold or you're hot. Or hot, you're lukewarm. And he said, I wish that you were cold or hot, but because you're not, I can't swallow you. I have to spew that out of my mouth. And I believe that he's faithful in helping us to know in stark terms that when the end of time comes, it's going to be just that straight. That's just going to be the way that it is. And so in his love, he comes to us that we might experience revival, that we might experience a reawakening, that we might experience a renewal in our spirit so that we can be hot or cold. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The Laodiceans, they became defined as a church that was just lukewarm. When you hear the word Laodiceans, that's what we think about. All down through the ages, the Laodiceans have been known as a lukewarm body. A body of religious people that failed to experience revival like they needed to experience revival. They became lukewarm. They loved, at one point, they were God-fearing. He still called them the church. In his love, he's trying to keep them in the church. But up until this point, they failed to experience revival like they needed to experience revival. They allowed themselves, perhaps, to become comfortable with religious activities. They looked the part. Maybe they acted the part to the point that they were accepted as part of the number to come in the back door. Nobody says, what are you doing here? You come in, you're accepted, you're one of the group. But they got comfortable. Maybe with a form of religion. They got comfortable with the activities that were associated with this way of life. And they began to put them up higher than their relationship with Jesus Christ. And began to miss the most important thing. And they said, we're good. We don't have need of anything. And the Lord said, you have need of so much. In verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And do you know that we as a people, if we're not careful, can be drawn into some of the very same situations if we are not very, very careful. We can get to the place where we have minimal desire for understanding what the word of the Lord doth say. Our prayer life begins to not have a lot of life in it. I'm not talking about incidents and feelings that we all have. I'm talking about a pattern of living that begins to set in and defines our life. Where my life is defined as my interest is all over here, and boy, that'll put a smile on my face and light my fire. But reading the word of the Lord and understanding more what he has to say, it's like we get to the place where spiritual exercise gets pushed off of our plate because we allow so many non-sinful things to be put on our plate. Plate's only so big. Have you gone through one of those buffet lines? Have you ever thought it odd that they give you a plate about this big? And you look at the rows and the rows and the rows of food and you're thinking, now what is wrong with this picture? You can only put so much on it. And it's not that this thing is bad or this thing is bad or this thing is bad. It's that there probably should be certain things on that little plate that you ought to put on there before you pile it up with other non-sinful things. May God help us We live in a life where so many opportunities, so many things that appeal to our eyes and to our ears and to our mouths, and so much to take up our time. And if we're not very careful, we can get into a place where we have pushed the Lord right off of the plate. Christianity, discipleship, can start to become joyless. Joyless without a whole lot of life. Passionless, where it involves more routine than it does an active relationship with Jesus Christ. We can know the truth in our heads, maybe been taught it all our lives. We can have a false sense of security because of our knowledge. Oh, I know. I can quote the verse. I can tell you how you're supposed to. But inside, it's not alive anymore. We can get in a religious rut. Absent a sense of urgency to hear the voice of God. And so the exhortation tonight is, let's pursue revival on whatever level we need to pursue it. Let's remain spiritually hydrated. Did you know that runners, if they don't stay hydrated, when they don't feel like they need to be hydrated, they get into trouble. And so they run a marathon, and we're in a marathon. We're on a journey. We're running the race of life. And there's all these opportunities with the glass of water, the living stream that's being held out to us. I'm good. I feel good. I don't feel like I need anything. And we run on. And then there's another opportunity. So living water right here. You probably ought to get a hold that you got a journey ahead of you. You're living life. You need this. I feel pretty good. I'm good. Until all of a sudden your body starts shutting down. Folks, let's remain spiritually hydrated. Let's seek revival in our lives. You say, well, how do we seek revival? What are you talking about? I want to just give a few examples. Do you remember when Joshua, we heard about it yesterday, when Joshua met the captain of the Lord of hosts, he said, hey, are you on our side or their side? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said, I am not on either one of your side. I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. And Joshua said, well, what do you have to say? And you remember what the first thing he said to him was? You need to take off your sandals. Because you're standing on holy ground. First things first. Before I can give you words of life, you are standing on holy ground and you need to take off that you're standing on. You need to take your way. You need to take the way that you think may be right. The way of man. The paths that you walk. Those things that you stand on. I believe in this. This is what I think's right. Does anybody here not have opinions? And I would say that most of us have really strong opinions, and some people do a better job of expressing it than others. But all of us have pretty strong opinions. And we stand on things. And the Lord said, you need to take your sandals off, and you need to put them off to the side, because the ground you're standing on is holy. And Joshua, he took his sandals off, and he put them to the side. And then he received words of life. And I want to encourage us all tonight to experience revival. Be willing to set your way to the side. Be willing, all those things that you hold on to and you're standing on and this is it. And you can take a sense of security in it because it's tried and proven. And when you come in the presence of the Lord, set your sandals to the side and be still and let the Lord speak to your heart. And He might show you a different shoe that you need to wear. Might be something different He wants you to put on. A different road to walk. He might want, maybe those sandals worked up until then. But did you know that the Lord changes our direction as we go in life? And He leads us and He guides us. And if I get too comfortable with where I am today, I will completely miss
that right turn that the Lord's saying, Rod, Rod, listen, you need to turn right. Don't keep going the way you're going. Be willing to be still and hear the voice of the Lord. The man that built the house that stood the test of the storm, Jesus said he was a wise man. And do you remember what he did? He came, he heard, and he did. That's what the scriptures outline. We came tonight, but are you hearing? Are you internalizing? We're here. We can come. We came to revival. But are we hearing? Are we disciplining ourselves to become free of distraction and saying, Lord, please speak to my heart. I'm desperate for it. And when he heard, he did. We can come and we can hear and we can know and we can be like the man that saw his face in the glass and he saw it, understood who he was. Well, I'll think about it for a while. I don't know. You know, this is kind of a bad time. Maybe a more convenient season. And we go our way. I want to encourage you tonight to come to where you know the word of the Lord is. Do you know it's important to come to service? Come to service is important. I know there's a lot of things out in the world that take our time. And I know we're not always able to make it to service. But service is Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday. And some of the most blessed services are Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. That's my experience. Put yourself where you can hear the word of the Lord. And it's not just coming to service. Create space in your life. And ask the Lord, when you're driving down the road, turn the radio off. Turn your phone off. Put your phone down. When you come to church, put your phone down. You don't need your phone in service. Turn it off. Hold on, Lord. Just a second, Lord. Something just came in. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Create space for the Lord to talk to your heart. And when he shows you the way to go, go that way. Thirdly, when Stephen was in trouble and the stones were coming against him and he was in the battle, our human reaction is to withdraw, begin to wither, feel sorry for ourselves, look inward. We talked about the other night, we're going to face tribulation in life. We're going to face problems. But when Stephen faced some of the most difficult problems a person could face, he looked up. He looked up to the Lord. He took his eyes off of himself. And he looked up and there he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he received revival that helped him get through the rest of the battle because he was willing to look up. And lastly tonight, reassess your priorities in life. Your time, your space. Heard a man say one time, show me your checkbook and your calendar and I'll show you your heart. I don't think that probably always applies. It could be a little misleading, but it gets to where our priorities are. Where do we spend all of our time? Where do we spend all of our resources? What's most important to us? The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We say, well, I don't love it. Isn't that what we would say? I mean, we're Christians. We're following the Lord. Now, and if I ask you, we'll turn it around. If you ask me, you say, do you love the world? Immediately, I think, love not the world, neither the things that... No, I don't love the world. That's ungodly. But try to take it away from me. One of my friends in high school, he's always trying to get me to go to a party with him. And he said, look, Rod, he says, I'll make sure there's milk there for you to drink. Just come. Well, there'll be milk. But then he started feeling guilty about what he was drinking. And he told me, he said, look, he said, I'm not addicted. He said, I just like the taste. That's all. I'm not addicted. Just like the taste. But try to take it away from him. May God help us in our lives to examine what's most important to us in life. Where am I spending all of my energy and my time and my resources? And I say, well, it's not sin. The Bible doesn't say it's sin. I'm not addicted to it. doesn't have a hold on me. I'm not in bondage to it. Can you let go of it? Have you created space in your life for the Lord? Folks, if we don't do these things, if we don't use revival as a tool to help keep ourselves alive in the Lord, we're going to get to the place, if we're not very careful, where we run out of oil. And we're going to be like the five foolish virgins when one day there was a knock and it was their time. And it was like, oh my goodness, do you have some extra oil? I only have enough for myself. And they were scrambling around and the door was shut. I don't want to be on the wrong side of the door. I don't want to just be content to be numbered with the people of God here on earth, only to be separated when the Lord calls my name. So we have a responsibility as Christians to seek and maintain life, remain spiritually hydrated. That is our responsibility. God is awake tonight, and the question is, are we awake? He's dealing and He's talking. The question is, are we listening? Are we willing to take what He has to say? Like to close in the 20th verse. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Behold, I stand at the door." It didn't say, "One day I will stand." The Scripture says, "Behold, I stand." And I believe tonight that the Lord is knocking at some doors. I believe the Lord tonight is standing at the doors of some people, and He's knocking and He's waiting to see, are we gonna hear? And if we hear, will we open? Will we do whatever it takes to come to Him? Are we willing to set aside our sandals, if you will? Are we willing to cry louder? Are we willing to make a hole in a roof that we didn't want to mess up? Do whatever it takes to reach Jesus? Let's purpose to do so tonight. Revival is not about what you have to give up. Revival is all about what you gain. Revival is not about, oh, you're not following a long enough list. We got some more things for you to put your mind to and your hand to. Revival is about getting to know Jesus. Revival is about reawakening your relationship with Jesus Christ. The works will come. That's a fruit that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if the Lord is speaking to you tonight about a need in your life, maybe a place where you're lukewarm, maybe you have a place in your life that the Lord's been talking to you about, don't delay. Don't defer tonight. Be determined to do whatever it takes. Press through the opposing voices that may say, just you're good, just sit tight. Just think about it a while. If the Lord is passing by your way to offer revival in your spirit, it's because we need it. It's because it's necessary. And I tonight want to have an open heart for what the Lord has for me, to be determined to do whatever it takes to make what matters matter in my life. Tonight, now is the accepted time if the Lord is speaking to your heart. Pray for me. I want to be true.